And we welcome you back, everybody. It is time for Three Guys Before the Game, the post-Texas edition. Thanks so much for being with us. Tony Caridi along with the Dean, Poppy Kercheval, and the Senator, Brad Howe. Coming up on our program, we will break down in detail West Virginia's historic 42-41 victory over the Texas Longhorns on Saturday in Austin. It was a game of all games. If you were going to write a script and say, hey, this would be a dramatic type of a way to play a game, and if you looked at the script, you'd say, oh, come on now, that's not going to happen. What do you mean? So wait a second. In this script here, there's over 100,000 people there, right? And your team, your team is going to come in here, right? And the quarterback on your team, who had his season come to an end a year ago by running to the left pylon. Now, and I skipped ahead to the conclusion here of your script. Now, he's going to run it in for the game-winning points with 16 seconds to go, right? That's how you got that written. Now, here, take that back. That only happens in Disney movies. Well, it did, plus a whole lot more. So where does it rank among all-time West Virginia victories? And I know that's kind of, that's not the most important thing, but I think it's something that we can have conversation about. What does it do as far as West Virginia and the rest of the season and the race? What's it do for Will Grier and his Heisman candidacy, not to mention his bank account from the NFL folks, mm-hmm. because that was an NFL type of a performance, plus the officiating. I don't know if you know, but there were a few flags that were thrown during the course of the game. We'll get into that and more. First off, we begin with the elder statesman, the Dean, Hoppy Kercheval.
Tony, imagine Thanksgiving 2038, and it's a Friday, and West Virginia is playing, because of conference realignment, West Virginia is playing
UCLA.
UCLA. And everybody's gathered around, and some of the older gentlemen there, older ladies, start to talk about that game in 2018 when Will Grier engineered a game-winning drive against Texas, and they described that pass to Gary Jennings. That's what that play means, that play will be talked about like the Jeff Hostetler bootleg against Pitt, like the Pat White comeback against Louisville, the Major Harris run against Penn State. That's what the context is of that play in that series.
Yeah, absolutely. Senator?
He's right. And I tweeted that on Saturday. That's a signature moment for Will Grier. That's what you wanted to see. You'd seen everything else out of Will Grier up to this moment. That's a signature moment for him, leading the last-minute touchdown drive. Then on the final play, as you alluded to, the two-point conversion, sticking it in. That game had all the drama you could possibly want. And you know what else, guys? And you're right, you'll talk about this for generations to come. But niche it down even to more localized, it was just a fun football game. That was the whole point of why we do all this, why you play the games, and we gnash our teeth over stuff and get tight and conference realignment and coaching contracts and buyouts. At the end of the day, that's what you want as a fan. And I know West Virginia came out on the right side of it for its fans, so that makes it even better. But that, to me, was a fun football game moment, to the point, Hoppy, when we do our broadcast in there, I don't remember ever doing this, I was standing up during the final drive and would lean over to the microphone to talk and then stand back up. That was a fun football game, and that's what will resonate for me for a long time.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the fact that it happens, let's face it, at one of the most tradition-filled venues in all of college football, Texas Memorial Stadium was built in 1924 in honor of the war dead, and then refurbished in the 1940s in honor of the World War II veterans from the state of Texas. So that stadium has stood, right, and seen some of these unbelievable games. So you go there, and there's 100,000 plus, and you do win it. There are 8 lead changes in the game. That's really what made it dramatic. It wasn't one of these mm-hmm. things, if you were going to do it on a graph where the team like is trying to catch. It just kept going like a ping pong game, right? Back and forth and back and forth. 8 lead changes are unheard of in a game, and the way that it ended, it got me to thinking. So people are asking me, okay, where does this game fit among all-time West Virginia wins? And so obviously there is no one answer. It's all going to be subjective for various reasons. So I tried to squeeze it down. And what I did was I went and looked at the games that WVU, here's the qualifiers, when West Virginia's been ranked, playing a ranked team on the road. When West Virginia's been ranked, playing a ranked team on the road.
It has to be like Virginia Tech and Miami, right?
Well, so there haven't been a ton. There's been a bunch. And so some of the ones that stood out. 1954, West Virginia, goodness. Freddie Wyatt.
Yeah.
West Virginia's ranked 14, Penn State's 9. They go up to Beaver Stadium. That at that time was seating 30,000. Was seating 30,000. And West Virginia was down 14-6 at halftime, outscored Penn State 13-0 in the fourth quarter, and won 19-14. Believe it or not, folks, among all the other games that have happened since then, that one is right there that you could make a very strong case. 1983, West Virginia at Boston College. The Mountaineers were 12, BC was 19. West Virginia never trailed in the game. So to me, when I see that West Virginia never trailed in the game, that takes away a little bit of the drama. Not that it takes away the significance, but I was looking for that. Where else has this happened? Where it's just going back and forth like a boxing match.
But real quick, stop on that one because it adds a little drama back in the Ed Hill catch for what that meant.
Well, that was 83. I'm going
on
that.
You, you haven't got to 93
yet. Yeah, but
yet.
You're
okay.
Exactly right. 10 years later, that's exactly right. The next one, 93. This one is right there. You're undefeated. You're 10-0. Mm-hmm. Played 11 back then. We'll play 11 this season, regular season. West Virginia wins it 17-14. This might be West Virginia trailed. So BC was ranked 11. West Virginia's 5. West Virginia trailed 14-3 going into the fourth quarter. West Virginia scored with 7:24 to go to make it 14-9. And I don't remember this, but they went for two, down 14-9, and they didn't make it. And so the score stayed 14-9. That was with 7:24 to go. Then 1:08 to go, Stud throws the pass. Darren Stud still throws the pass to Eddie Hill. Eddie Hill catches the ball. So now it is 15-14, West Virginia. They go for two. Jay Carney catches the two-point conversion. That made it 17-14. BC got the ball back. Hail Mary didn't happen. Mike Logan, actually. I think Mike Logan either broke it up or forget what Mike did. It was right at the end. He won it. That one there, 93, BC, West Virginia ends a regular season undefeated. Mm-hmm. That might be the cherry on the top. But other than that, there aren't any ones. Like, so some people might say, Georgia in the Sugar Bowl in Atlanta. So Georgia's 8, West Virginia's 11. West Virginia wins at 38-35, which makes it, okay, that had to be a dramatic game. West Virginia never trailed.
No, but it was a very dramatic game.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Brady on the fake punt.
No question.
In terms of seminal plays, you always think of the fake punt.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And there's no question that that one is into the mix as well. West Virginia in October of 07 went to Rutgers. Rutgers 25, West mm-hmm. Virginia number 6. West Virginia wins 31-3. Fine.
Don't
right?
even just take that off your list.
Take it off.
Take it off your list.
Cincinnati.
And it involved Rutgers.
Yeah.
Who was good back then, but that you can't. It's hard to say that with a straight face.
Cincinnati.
Rutgers.
Cincinnati in 2007, West Virginia's 5. Cincinnati's 21. And West Virginia led 21-10 at halftime, never trailed. So that's the material. So you go to the Oklahoma West Virginia game in the Fiesta Bowl. And West Virginia, of course, wins at 48-28. West Virginia never trailed in that game. So was it super massive and significant? Yeah. But did it have that gut-wrenching, right, pit in your stomach, unbelievable perspiration that the Texas game had? Not so much to me. Clemson game in the Sun Bowl. I'm in the Sun Life Stadium, the Orange Bowl, 70-33. It was, right, once they had the fumble at the end zone and and Cook brought it back, that was never there. The other game that you could make a strong statement with that would be comparable, and you were there, 2012. Same exact location, same exact team. West Virginia beats Texas 48-45. There were 4 lead changes, 3 in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find any others as far as...
Not even no Tech West Virginia game?
Virginia Tech, West Virginia.
02, maybe?
02.
Rich's second year.
So that was November.
West Virginia gets the big stop?
Well, yeah. November 20, 02. West Virginia wasn't ranked.
Okay.
But you're right. Tech was 13. West Virginia was unranked. West Virginia wins 21-18. They got the huge stop, but they never there was only one lead change in the entire game.
You know, this was interesting. You know, the same halftime score existed on Saturday as did in that 2012 game against Texas. That was very similar in nature. A lot of points scored. You just alluded to the lead changes. It'll also be interesting to watch how this season goes for West Virginia, because this game, as big as it is, will grow in importance if West Virginia were to win a Big 12 title in the championship game, make a college football playoff appearance. So this still has a chance to grow based on what the rest of the season does as well.
You're right, Brad, because if West Virginia does not make the championship game in the Big 12, then it'll be looked upon as a huge game and this incredible moment for Will Grier. But if you do make the playoffs, then that's seen as the crossing of the Rubicon. That's when they made a move.
Rubicon. Yeah, very nice.
Got a Rubicon into the podcast.
You can tell he doesn't do sports all the time. He's a little bit smarter than us. Anyway, well, I write that down. And look up what he was talking about, because I thought he was talking about a Jeep. I thought he was talking about a Jeep brand. Anyway, okay, so Will Grier, from an NFL standpoint, that was like dollars. Whether you want to know it or not, NFL people see number one, the ability to lead at the end, the ability to make those plays. He just took whatever perhaps took away from him against Iowa State, it all got taken back more plus.
Yeah, as I just said in that open there weren't a lot of boxes left to check for him. I mean, he's shown you about everything you could possibly show, not just stats, but arm strength, being able to throw it wherever. Talk about arm strength on that one, right? I don't know whether he was – I still have watched it 100 times. Was he on the wrong foot? Was he in midair? What was he doing when he threw that?
He was on his back foot. He was on his wrong foot.
Well, I don't think it was back foot, because he was going forward. So I don't know what he pushed off on.
Well, obviously he didn't set.
He shot putted it.
It was an unbelievable throw. Great catch by Gary Jennings, too, the concentration, but caught him right in stride. That was the final little piece there, the ability in the last minute or couple minutes to take the ball and say, we're going down the field, then hold your composure and go for a two-point conversion, and, oh, by the way, they called a timeout, you better run it again. All of that composure, and it certainly wasn't just Will Grier. It was the rest of those offensive guys out there as well. But Will Grier will get big-time points for that in the intangible category when NFL guys start to evaluate him coming up.
I mean, that was an NFL. You don't know what's going to happen in the NFL, but that was an NFL play. You know, those two plays were plays an NFL guy makes. And it was the kind of thing you've come to expect from Will Grier. And game on the line, he makes the plays. And by the way, you know, the story is Will Grier and the story is West Virginia going for two. How about the much maligned offensive line?
I just wrote that down, ready to go.
I mean, really stepping up in that game, and you lose Yodney Kajust, Wickline coming in. They turned in an admirable performance in that game.
Unbelievable. So that leads us to two topics now. Yes, we can talk about the offensive line. And when Yodney Kajust left the game, you know, you looked at it and you went like, holy potato salad here. What is going to happen to the left side of West Virginia's offensive line? Because let's face it, the last time that Kelby Wickline got significant playing time, it was nightmarish against Utah, right? That offensive line goes out there and paves the way to allow West Virginia to average 7 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. As we've talked about it, West Virginia's been 9 recently in the Big 12 in rushing the football. They get 7. And especially, these guys aren't getting any love or very little love compared to what they did. And they were both named the offensive champions of the game by the coaching staff. Martell Pettaway and Kennedy McCoy ran like they had jetpacks on.
Correct.
They have not, and I have not, seen them run that hard. They were explosive. So huge, huge props to those guys, to their position coach, to the offensive line. They knew the outside zone was going to be there. We knew it all week, mm-hmm. and they absolutely exploited it.
Now, it did help, not take away from them. It helped that Hager was out and out early.
Sure, okay? Absolutely.
And also his backup got hurt. They had like 3 substantial injuries on the defensive side, but still, it was the best performance of the year by the offensive line.
So a couple things. We've been questioning all year, could West Virginia run the football? So part of why they had to run it to win it was that scheme. They did that, what looks like, if you're watching on TV, the 3-2-1, it looks like, as they take that third linebacker and drop him back. So West Virginia had to be able to run it, or they just simply would not have won that game. They did. Pettaway being explosive and McCoy, that's the perfect word to use. But you know what else Pettaway in particular did?
Dealt punishment?
Well, he did that too. He was extremely patient. If you go back and watch, and to your point about that offensive line, some of what that blocking involves is getting guys, pushing them where they already want to go. Well, that takes a little bit of time as a running back. You've got to wait and see where that hole is, and then you've got to hit it. There were a couple times in particular, including the big long run from Pettaway, when he did that. He didn't hit the hole right away. He was looking. There it is. Boom. Now I'm gone. He did an outstanding job. Steve Dunlap, former defensive coordinator on our broadcast, talked about how left side heavy West Virginia was. They were punishing Texas while running to the left side. To your point about Kelby Wickline taking over for Yadni Kajust, a remarkable effort by those guys to be able to control the line of scrimmage and run for 232.
The perception on Pettaway, right, was that he was kind of a physical back but didn't have breakaway speed. Well, he averages 13 yards and had a career-long 55-yard run in that game. Back to West Virginia and Yadni Kajust, playing without Yadni Kajust, and we'll get into it now. We'll talk about the officiating in this game. So, wow. Obviously, you watch it with gold and blue glasses on, and you're going to say, well, we're getting screwed. What in the world's going on? Take away your fandom, all right? Just take away the fandom. Here is the absolute evidence that the officiating crew had a poor game. This is how you know they had a poor game. In the first half, they called 12 penalties against West Virginia. They called 6 against Texas. 18 penalties in the first two quarters. 18 penalties. In the third quarter, they called 0 penalties. There was not one penalty called after 18 in the first half. So what happened? They went into the locker room, they towed off, and someone, whether it be the supervisor who was on hand or whatever it was, someone got in there and did a colonoscopy with them and said, what are you doing? The game got out of their hands. They lost control of wisely calling the game, and they got amped up. Whether it was 100,000 people, whatever it was, the game got too big for them. That's why Yadni Kajust gets thrown out of the game for an absolute open hand slap. That's not an ejection. They lost control. Next to that, here we go. We're going to go horns up. We're going to go horns down. So West Virginia gets penalized twice for going horns down. Okay? I called my guy in Oklahoma. I said, yo, give me the history on this horns up, horns down. He said, if they would call horns down when Texas and Oklahoma play, we'd have 150 penalties. We had 150 penalties. He said, we do it. We run on the field, horns down. Every single play we make is horns down. And West Virginia goes out, and they get penalized for that. So my point is the game was way out of control for those guys. And so then they went from one extreme to the next in the third quarter, and then they got back up to it in the fourth quarter. I don't say officials went out there and were trying to favor Texas. By no means. I don't buy into that conspiracy. Now, I know a lot of you people think that. That's fine. All the league's based in data. I don't buy that. Those guys go out there and try to do the absolute best job that they can, but the game got over the top of them, and they lost control of the game.
Couple things on the horns up, horns down. So if that's a penalty for down, I think you're going to see a written rule have to come out now. I think the league is going to have to step in and make a rule on that, because here's the thing. If that's horns down as a penalty and you're using the inciting a crowd, right, which is a penalty, right? If you do a throat slash, there's a lot of things you can do that can get on sportsmanlike. If that's inciting a crowd, then horns up after a touchdown should be excessive celebration. Same thing, Kercheval. If you're going down, it's a penalty, then it should be outlawed for up. But that, all right, that's a fun topic for later.
That's a good point.
It's got to be both, and I think the league's going to have to put that out there. But you know, Tony, I told Hoppy this on Saturday, and he was incredulous with me, just incredulous. The penalties actually worked in West Virginia's favor.
The helmet coming off.
Well, besides that,
the biggest call, by the way.
That was huge.
Yep.
Surprised that gets reversed. That never gets reversed in West Virginia's favor, does it? That never happens. Statistically and historically, did you know now under Dana Holgorsen, West Virginia has moved to 5-0 when being called for 12 or more penalties.
but
did you know West Virginia historically is 25-1 since 1973 when getting called for 12 or more penalties?
Okay.
West Virginia overwhelmingly wins when getting flagged heavily.
There's something wrong with that stat.
Watch, he's going to lose
his
mind.
There's something wrong with that stat.
What's the matter over there, Johnny?
Well, because
I'm bringing facts. Well, you usually like facts.
You're a news guy. Why don't you like facts?
I'm being a reporter there. I dug into some information and reported facts.
Why does Hoppy Kirchhoff not like facts?
5-0 under Dana.
There is causation and correlation. Okay, and you're making this causation like, oh, when they have 12 or more penalties, they win the game, as though committing 12 or more penalties causes them to win the game, as opposed to correlation, which means it's more of a happenstance. They won the game and they had 12 penalties. There's no correlation. There's no causation. There's no causation between having more penalties and winning the game. I can guarantee you that. Might be a correlation, but there's not a causation.
Well, you can say it as loud as you want, but they're 25-1.
25-1 since 1970. I went back to 73 when you were a mere 30 years old. I went back to 73. I thought you would appreciate the historical.
30.
I didn't just give you Dana's 5-0.
Listen, I want you to do this.
The 70s.
I appreciate the fact that you've done some research. Now, when you're done, I want you to go and I want you to research causation versus correlation and get back to me.
Speaking of causation and was it correlation? Last week on the program.
I mean, Tony, you be an arbitrator here.
I understand what you're saying. You can't, let me say this. Don't go out to a game and try to commit more than 12 and think you're going to win a whole lot.
They should. They're 5-0.
I mean, let's say the Mountaineers.
Beat Baylor. Baylor was ranked 2. So it wasn't just against teams. That's 2 wins against ranked teams just in the last couple
five.
Years.
Okay,
five.
You know what?
Top
five. That's an absurd argument. Move on. You're wasting time.
Okay.
5-0.
Hey, by the way, who's the show sponsored by tonight? Today.
Daniel's Immense. This is a really good week, too, to be sponsored
Why
by Daniel's Immense.
Why is
well,
it a good
there'll be a lot of people coming into town for the TCU game coming up at noon on Saturday. So when you arrive in town, head over to see Philly's right by the stadium, Phil at Daniel's Men's Store. Right there, you can walk over.
University
30%
Avenue.
Off all West Virginia gear.
30%
off all
blue
West Virginia
thing, gear. It's a blue thing, too, right? So you get some blue
True
gear.
True blue, yeah. So if you need some blue, he's got plenty of it. Coats, pullovers, all of it.
All you have to do is go inside to Daniel's and tell the folks there that you listen to Three Guys Before the Game. And as a preferred listener, you will receive 30% off all of their WVU apparel. 30% off. You can walk in. We got basketball Friday night. Mountaineers tip off at 9 o'clock. So if you're coming in for the weekend to do the whole deal, just stop by at Daniel's and tell them you listen to Three Guys Before the Game. And before we go away tonight, I keep saying tonight.
I know.
Whenever you're listening. You know why I say tonight?
Why?
Because people all over the world are listening to this show.
It could be tomorrow somewhere near listening.
We got that guy.
So we went to Columbia during the last episode.
We had a guy in Columbia emailed us. Last show, Hoppy, we got a guy. His name is Garf Simmons in Taiwan. In Taiwan. 12-hour difference, so it already is. And he listens to everything that we do. He has a sling box so that he can watch the games 12 hours later. He loves everything we do. So I'm leaving the stadium the other night. This lady runs up to me and says, I've got to talk to you. We listen to three. I said, "What? Yeah, great. How you doing there? Don't want to miss the bus." And she said, "My son has listened to you in Oxford, not Ohio, the real Oxford."
Yeah.
Now, that's where Rhodes Scholars go, Hoppy.
Right.
Not Rhodes Scholar finalists. That's where Rhodes Scholars go. But anyway, now, when you win, you go to Oxford, Brad. I don't know if you knew that.
Okay. West Virginia has three finalists for
that. Absolutely. And Ginny Thrasher.
Ginny Thrasher included.
One of them, absolutely. And she said, he used to live in Tanzania and didn't miss a thing that you guys did.
We got a Tanzania.
Big in Tanzania.
Yeah. We need to bring in a big, paper map
exactly.
And start sticking stick pins in there.
Exactly.
Three guys listeners.
That's an excellent idea.
So if you listen... somewhere like outside of the continental U.S., we'd love to hear from you. I would absolutely love to hear from you. I see it on the stats where people are listening and coming in from. But anyway, we'd love to hear from you. So anyway, we were on officiating. We were on the penalties. Don't commit penalties. Again, I don't think they go in there. I think the game got bigger than they were. And I'll tell you, there were
some legitimate, I mean, like the motion stuff because it was so loud. I mean, those were the workhorse.
Sure, understand that stuff. I'm not saying everything was bad, but I thought that the Kujust ejection to me was just.
Here's what, I mean, on the horns thing, I mean, here's what you do is you go up to the kid, you go up to Sills and you say, hey, do that again, you're going to get flagged. And you go tell the coaches and you give them a warning, which actually also makes it somewhat disappointing that the hero of the game, Will Greer, did it when he ran in for two, because you knew if they threw it the first time, they were going to throw it again and endangered the outcome of that game.
Well, yeah. Well, when David Sills did it, coupled with the Kadjust penalty the extra point, that's how they got a score.
Yeah.
Kicked the ball off at midfield. Exactly. Kicked the ball off from the 10-yard line. And so that's kind of the take that I had on that. All right. So what does it all mean now for West Virginia as far as this run goes? We'll be back on Thursday to talk about the TCU game. I'm just telling
you right now.
Don't
know.
I'm not going to say it's a trap game.
It's not.
No, I'm not going to say it's a trap game. It's not a trap game.
It's not.
Oh, no, it's not a trap game. But you know what it's going to be? It's going to be a flat West Virginia team.
Correct.
Yes.
We just talked about that before the show as well. I agree. It's almost impossible to give back-to-back highly emotional, great performances like West Virginia just came off of. That's why it's really the schedule makers didn't do West Virginia any favors with these four programs that are lined up. But TCU having the year it's having may end up helping West Virginia because you might not need your A-plus game to find a way to get a win.
You know, agreed. And the schedule actually is working out eerily in favor of West Virginia, especially you get that Texas win. You're all amped up. As Brad said, you probably don't need your A-plus game to beat TCU. That's a trap game at Oklahoma State. That's a trap game, but you catch Oklahoma State after Bedlam.
Mm-hmm.
So so many things have worked in West Virginia's favor this year schedule-wise.
And if you are flat this week and you still are able to win, that's okay because then you hear about it the whole next week as you get ready for Oklahoma State and you'll kind of come back the way you did after Iowa State going getting ready for Baylor. So you're right. At least on paper, it comes through. So,
you know, Tony, let me make one other point before we leave Texas behind is that West Virginia still historically is relatively new to the league and it's taken a while to build up rivalries and things like that. But now you got something with Texas, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you got something there.
Which is good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
And it takes time because you have to have games where things like that happen, either for you or against you, that build a history between the teams. And now you have something with Texas.
Totally agree. Because they were trying to force feed that Iowa State rivalry there early on, right? Played them near the end of the season, and it's a good spirited rivalry. But I do think Sam Ellinger, their quarterback, came out with a tweet after the game was over and said, "I'll never forget anyone that does a player or teams that go horns down for disrespecting the great tradition of the University of Texas." That's when it kind of caught my eye because I didn't realize it was that big of a deal. But apparently they do, but then my Oklahoma guy says, well, people, they say when they walk around the concourse in the Cotton Bowl before the Red River rivalry game, Texas fans are going like this, and the Oklahoma fans are walking around like that.
And by the way, Ellinger went ahead and deleted that tweet after the fact. Here's what I'll say about that, because I'll give Texas credit going back. I think that's a pretty cool little hand signal you can do there. That's a nice little symbol for your university, but here's the deal. Here's the thing, man. If you're going to have that, that's great. That's wonderful. I really do think that's one of the neater things that a school has. But if you're going to do that, then expect that to be a target from rivals and other teams,
Absolutely.
Too. Toughen up, man. Thicken the skin, right? Thicken the things that are said about people from West Virginia.
Oh, my gosh.
And these guys are bummed out over putting the horns down a little bit. I mean, take your tradition and do it all you want. Do it after touchdowns. Do it while you're running down the field with the ball for a touchdown. I'm all for it. But when you're struggling and it's going to get thrown back at you, just move on.
Well, that's
my advice.
By the same token, everybody's got to toughen up on things like that, and not take offense, because that's just how it goes. And right now, whoever's televising this game is getting their shot lined up of a fan that has no shirt on and overalls and a coonskin cap.
That's what I'm saying.
So yeah,
horns down is the worst thing that's said about you.
No, come on.
This is a very big hands league, right?
So
Texas has got horns up, right?
Yep.
And then TCU's
got a thing.
I saw somebody say it looks like.
What is it?
Trying to teach
it's
a kid.
It's like the horned frog.
The horned frog thing. And
Baylor's got like a bear paw.
Baylor,
that's what I mean. It's handsy.
Guns up. Pistols firing. It's a pistol.
And I'm all for all of it. Good for them.
You know,
West Virginia's got theirs.
You know, West Virginia.
Dana was showing the official on the sideline.
Yeah,
there's the video of the shape of the state of West Virginia. He was doing it right to the official.
I don't know if you've ever seen that, but you can do that and make both the panhandles. You died now, don't you? Yes.
Or you can do that. Haven't even talked about going for two, have we?
Oh, geez, we didn't even do that.
We can talk about going for two?
So let's do it. I thought, like, for Dana, that was so in his element. As you saw, he was just having a big old time out there. If you saw the video of him, hey, you want to win the game? Come on, let's go win the game. That's him, man. That's like totally, that game to him was exactly how he thought it would play out.
It was on brand for Dana Holgorsen. But here's the thing. Sometimes his on brand is stuff you go, dude, what are you doing? Take a timeout. What do you mean you don't use timeouts? You can take a timeout. But that not only was on brand, I'm with him. And had it failed, I would still sit here and say the same thing. That was absolutely the right call in that position. Your defense is gassed. Your defense is struggling to stop anybody. Should you go down and score, which they did, Texas was going to be on its heels in shell shock. That 100,000 person crowd was going to be sitting down, and you have Greer in that explosive offense. Go get 3 yards, Hoppy, versus starting on the 25 in overtime. Absolutely the correct call by Dana.
You know, Brad, I agree.
And I'm sorry, one more thing. And your season's on the line, right?
Yeah.
That is the season. You got to win that game to have any shot at the Big 12 title. Go win it.
The first thing I thought was, oh, good, you've tied it up. That was the first thing I thought because I'm naturally conservative, but you're right. But you're right. It was the right call. And also the fact they had already made the decision, even though the Texas took a timeout, you didn't take a timeout. You're ready to go right then.
And that's which was exactly. Which just was get perfect. Right up there and yeah, catch like them go. More off guard. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Yeah.
Great call. Great.
I do. I think that kind of, just kind of solidifies that's the character of the program. As you said, Brad, you know, nationally, he's getting a ton of love because of just like, that's his style, man. Like, that's what you would think, right? The way that he rolls, that's how he rolls.
And conversely, go back a little moment in the game. Conversely, I thought Tom Herman did the opposite and got ultra conservative, not going for it on fourth down when earlier he didn't hesitate at all to go for fourth, and they picked it up kind of easily. When they were up four, he settles for a field goal rather than go ahead and go it and try and drive the stake through their heart. You know, gave West Virginia another opportunity
there to win that. And where was your money in that game? Because the defense. And we talked to Steve Dunlap during our broadcast Saturday, and we're saying, Steve, what's going on with the defense? He goes, they're trying everything they can. They can't stop them. Sometimes that happens because Texas was pretty good offensively, and Ellinger, once he started off slowly, then he got hot. So sometimes you just can't stop the other guys. So you put your money on your best option, which is your offense, because if you got to play defense again, Brad, I'm not sure you could stop them.
And don't they always say that when you're on the road, go for the win? In those situations, try and get the win and get out of there. I just thought on brand, perfect call, and strategically the best move at that time.
Well, you remember it happened here. TCU came in early on in West Virginia's Big 12 days, and they won that game in overtime. Just went for two and said, see you later, we're out.
Yeah, because it kind of surprised you. Remember that? You were thinking, all right, kick, overtime. Like you were saying, what do you mean he's going for two? What are we doing here? It does that to the defense a little bit.
Yeah. Extremely memorable. All right, so we'll be back on Thursday. Don't forget, if you're coming in, folks, we got all kinds, like nine things going on. We got men's soccer in the MAC championships, right, Senator? MAC championships? Men's soccer's playing. Women's soccer probably going to play Saturday in the NCAAs.
Because they just won the Big 12.
They just won the Big 12. Congratulations to those guys. We've got the men's basketballers coming off
Brad was all in on that Saturday. He couldn't watch football. He had to watch basketball
for
2.5 hours.
Huggins, I thought. Perfect. Very intense game. That was a really good scrimmage to have. It went back and forth, and guys were going at it. But West Virginia struggled a little bit defensively, right, which is going to be perfect for Huggins. He can tell them they're no good playing defense and have to get better. But you know what I really liked? I know they didn't win, but who cares? Doesn't matter. Issa Ahmad was ultra aggressive in that game. And you know me, I think that's the biggest key to West Virginia having a great season was that. So they didn't win the game, but that's going to be perfect. Huggins can tell them they're not good. They're not working hard enough. They don't understand
defense.
Can't
get a rebound when you need it.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, pistol whip them.
Yeah, perfect.
Think Lamont West will box out again point this season?
Probably.
Do you think Sagabal Kanate thinks he can score when he gets the ball in the paint?
Yeah, and you also saw another thing. Sags probably can't switch out and guard a guy out at three-point line. He's got to stay inside and be able to rebound the ball.
How about his one move where he's driving the ball and puts it behind, would he put it behind his back or between his legs right into the lane? Just like, I'm like, whoa. So, but there's still, you can see it's like a great recipe. All the ingredients are there, but you got to figure out how you're going to put it together.
It takes some time to simmer.
So they open up against Buffalo 9 o'clock on Friday night in a nationally televised affair. All right, we'll have all the details.
You started to say there before I interrupted you. You were going to tell people if they're coming in for one of those events.
Yeah, go to Fine Looking Phil's. That's Daniel's Menswear on University Avenue in Morgantown. They are the official sponsor of Three Guys Before the Game. All you have to do is tell them that you're a regular listener and lie to them. Say you're a regular listener, even if you only heard it for the first time. Just tell them you listen to the Three Guys Before the Game. Get 30% off all of their WVU apparel and do it. Check them out.
Give them horns down.
Yeah. If you walk in, Phil might give you one of them pocket squares if you go horns down, right? Like a pocket square.
Am I supposed
square.
To do this?
No, don't. You can.
Where's this Phil guy?
You can do that. We got to get Phil in here. He can give you horns up, horns down with a silk, pocket silk. All right. We're out. Thanks for being with us. Back again on Thursday. Three Guys Before the Game. Take care, everybody. We'll see you. Yeah.